All right, how many of you guys have taken a spill like that before?
Oh.
Any? There, whoa, jobs. There are lots of hands up.
Once I fell on black ice in the dark in New Hampshire at 12 a.m.
Oh, okay, yeah. Oh, that's not fun. Look, falling isn't fun. Taking spills like that hurts. I remember I was taking my dog for a walk. Jackie knows. Where's Jackie? Jackie usually like drives by when I'm out walking and I wave at her. But people from church drive by a lot. So I'm out walking my dog down the street by my house and lots of different people from church see me and will like wave at me. Some I know, some I don't, but I always try to wave back, right? So I'm walking my dog and it's like a really nice, cool morning. And it was like, it had rained the night before. So everything was like really like just like fresh outside. And it was like, we're just chilling, doing our thing. But if you know my dog, you know that he's like crazy. He's wild. So he's pulling me down the sidewalk. And sure enough, there comes a car that I know is someone from our church. I recognize the car, and there it goes. Like, this hand goes out the window and does the wave, and I'm like, yep. So I'm getting ready to, like, smile and wave, and I hear the horn honking, and I look up and put a big smile on my face, and I start waving, and just as I do, our eyes meet, like, you know that moment when they're driving by, and you're like, okay, now I know who you are. And just as that happened, bam, like, my face just, like, plants into the ground. So, like, we get this, like, eye contact, and then, boom, I'm just gone, like a ninja. I just disappear, and I'm laying on the ground. And this person, this wonderful follower of Jesus, just kept driving. They didn't even check on me. My dog sits on my chest and starts licking my face, like, are you dead? Like, who's going to feed me, you know? So I get up, and I walk home. I was so embarrassed. Like, I'm sure you guys have some embarrassing, funny stories of falling. And the thing is, like, remaining standing and being able to have, like, your feet under you is so important, right? Because if you can't, then you can't function, you can't move, you can't do things. If you were a really klutzy person, you probably understand this. Like, some of us are more graceful than others, where you're trying to move around and you're always, like, knocking things over or falling. But having a sure footing is so important in life, and even more so in your spiritual life. And you're like, you're probably thinking, like, how do I have sure footing in my spiritual life? How do I stand up in my spiritual life? And that's exactly what I want us to look at tonight in Ephesians chapter 6, if you guys want to open up there, verses 10 to 13. We're going to see how we can stand firm tonight. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians talks about this and helps us understand how important it is, not that just you, like, have a sure footing in your physical life, which might be like, what, like a good job or finances or a house, or you find the right person to marry. We think of those things when we're planning our life, right? And that's kind of like standing firm in life for us, the tangible things. But Paul stops us for a second and he's like, yeah, all that's important. But what's even more important is that your heart and your spirit can stand firm in Jesus. Because if you don't have that, the big house and the like white picket fence and the really nice car and the awesome job and all that stuff you've worked so hard for, it really doesn't matter. In the end, it really won't matter. So he wants to point our eyes to the thing that really, really matters. And that thing is that you can stand firm in your faith. So in the end, when everything's done and you're standing before God, the thing, the greatest thing that we can hope for, to be able to say, is that we remain standing in our faith in Jesus. Now, that's a bigger task than what it seems like, because, like, Satan is coming after you. We know that. The Bible says he's like a roaring lion seeking whom he can devour, and that's you and me, and he's looking to take us down. And so this isn't just an easy task, but a lot of times we don't even think about it. It doesn't even cross your mind, like, when's the last time you thought about your spiritual life? When's the last time you thought about your walk with Jesus? When's the last time you asked yourself that question, like, in the end, will I be able to stand firm in my faith? Or am I going to hit the pavement, right, face first? Because Satan's going to come along and distract me with all sorts of other things. Steal that from me. So let's look, hopefully you're there. It's Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 13. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Paul says it a whole bunch of times. I hope you heard it. He kept repeating how important it is that in the end we're able to remain standing. But he also tells us how. You know, it's really annoying when people tell you to do something and don't tell you how to do it. And you just stand there frustrated. Paul doesn't do that tonight. Paul is like, here is what you need to do. And here's how to do it. And so as we look at this, look how he starts. He says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. You got to notice something here. Like, this is not designed. What he's saying isn't for people who showed up tonight already like on fire, ready to go. It's not for people who have all sorts of strength in them and they're ready to fight the battle and just go out and attack every, like, that's not who he's talking to. He's talking to people tonight who are exhausted, to people who feel defeated. They're tired and broken. He's talking to people who can't be strong on their own. And that's why he's saying this, because they've come and they just feel hopeless. They don't know how they're going to fight the battle tomorrow. They don't know what they're going to do next or where the strength is going to come from. Because that strength is not found inside your heart or mine. It's not something we can conjure up. You might be able to work real hard and get that big house. And physically, you might get that firm standing, right, in your life. You study hard, you go to school, you do your thing. But will it all crumble because you never took the time to make sure that you're standing firm in your faith in Jesus? The thing that holds it all together, the thing that makes it matter and have value. You see, sometimes we don't even look at that part. And we think we're doing great because everything else looks real good on the outside. But in the inside, we're weak. We're battered, we're broken, we're exhausted, and we have no hope. And so when he says, be strong, he doesn't just tell us to be strong. He says, be strong in the Lord. There's somebody's strength there, and it's not ours. It's God's strength. It says, in the strength of his might. And so you might be the person I just talked about tonight. Maybe you're sitting here tonight, and you're wondering, like, do I matter? Does anybody like me? Do I have friends? Does anyone care about me? What am I going to do with my life? Like, what's the point of all this? Maybe you came here tonight and you're discouraged or you're depressed or you just feel exhausted inside. And the good news for you is that it doesn't have to be your strength to fix it. What Paul's saying here is that God is offering that strength to you, his strength, so that you can overcome that, so that you can be, you don't have to stay in that state of exhaustion and brokenness and just being tired. You can look to him and say, Lord, I need you. Like, there's no way I'm doing this on my own. And so we see that strength is not in us. We can't just reach down deep inside and find the courage and make it happen. Like, that doesn't work. The Lord will have to lift us up. And so he encourages us. He says, the strength of the Lord is what you need, right? And look what he says next. So, right, put on the whole armor of God. What you need is the strength of the Lord to stand firm. And here's how you do it. You put on God's armor. And you might be thinking, like, what is God's armor? Like, this seems very, very, like, spiritual and just artsy. Like, I don't understand what all those words mean. Well, think about what armor is. Is it the soldier who makes that armor strong? No. He doesn't have some like reptile skin, like a gator, and it's just like, you know, arrows just bounce off him and he wears this armor, it becomes stronger. That's not how it works. The armor protects the soldier, right? And so God is offering us his strength to protect us, to be the one that guards us from all the lies and deception that want to tear you off the path of trusting Jesus. And so as you put on the armor, what he says here is to put on the whole armor, not just pieces of it. You ever played paintball? Anybody? Any paintball people in the room? Okay, so like some people are kind of sissy like me. We wear all the gear, you know? So like there's different pads you put on and stuff and like protective things. And so I went paintballing with some friends a long time ago. And I put on, like, you know, you had the chest plate thing that protects you and the arm things and the helmet and the goggles. So we're like, hey, let's test this out. Let's see how bad this actually hurts before we go out there. So we decided we were going to take turns shooting each other in, like, the guard areas so it wouldn't hurt, right? So we stand there, and I go first, and I shoot my friend, and I nail him, like, right in the center of the chest, right in the guard. It was perfect. He didn't feel anything. We're like, yeah, let's do this. He's like, wait, my turn. Oh, you know. So sure enough, I stand there. I do my thing. And he shoots me that turkey right in the neck, dude, like right in the neck, like right here, swelled up like this. And of course, it was the one place that wasn't protected. Now, I know he did it on purpose, right? But even if not, like, I had a lot of exposed areas. I didn't even think about that part of it. I'm thinking, oh, sweet, my head's protected, my eyes are protected. But, like, if it hits the areas where the armor's not, it's still going to hurt pretty bad, right? And somehow, those paintballs always find the gaps. You know, the places where the armor isn't. It's just how it works. And that's how kind of how it works with Satan's darts, too. If you decide, hey, God, like, I'm going to put on your armor, but only pieces of it. Not going to give you all of me. I'm not going to trust you with my whole heart. I'm going to hold this piece over here. You can have the rest of it, but I'm guarding this. You guard that, I'll guard this. You know what part's going to get hit? The part the weak person's guarding, which is you and me, that's where the gap is. And so sure enough, that one area you don't want to give over to God is exactly where Satan's coming for you. Place you don't want to give up. Holy Spirit's convicting you about a relationship that you have that does not honor God. And you're like, no, you can have everything else, but not my relationship. I like them too much. This is mine. God, you can have the rest of my life. You know where Satan's going to attack you? Right there. You name it. You name the thing that you want to pull aside. Say, God, that's mine. The school I'm going to, my college choice, you can have everything else, but let me choose that for myself, God. Right? My family, friends, my great, whatever. That sport that you play, whatever you're holding. And you're telling God, like, I got this. That's exactly where Satan's coming for you. That's where the dart is going to hit. And so when he says, put on the whole armor of God, I mean, he keeps repeating that. He repeats it again in a second in another verse because it's so important. What he's saying is, take your whole life, all of it, and trust God with the whole thing. Too many of us just do the little piece. God, here's what you get and here's what I get. And he's like, no, the whole armor is when you take all of it and all of your faith and all of your trust is placed in God. And you say, I'm yours. God, you can do whatever you want with me. You can change my plans and my future and my college choices and the person I'm going to marry. Like, whatever. I'm looking to you for those decisions, God. It's all yours. My pride, take it. My heart, put it in your hands. I'm not holding anything back. That's when you take the whole armor of God and not just these pieces, right? And you say, God, you can have it all. Because when you trust God with all of it, you're putting on the complete armor that protects you. And it says, this is why we should do this. Are you ready for this? He says, that you may be able to stand. Wasn't this the goal, right? We've been talking about this. We want to be able to stand. We're going to be able to get to the end and be like, hey, Jesus, like, I'm here. I still believe you have my heart. Like, in the end, I wasn't beaten on the battlefield. I'm able to stand strong in who you are and trust you. And that's the goal of the armor. When the dust settles in the battlefield, when Satan's come with all of his lies and whispered in your ear and he's running out of lies and he's still trying to deceive you, when all the distractions in your life that are trying to keep you from following Jesus, but these things are so fun and so enticing and so cool. I'd rather do these things than follow Christ. When all of those things finally settle, that's when you're able to look up and say, am I still on my feet? Have I fallen flat on my face? Did that girl that I knew that relationship did not honor God, but yet I just couldn't give it up. And I kept going back and forth. Did that distract me? And then I looked up and all of a sudden I'm not following Jesus anymore because I'm so consumed with this. to that sport that meant everything to me and getting all the awards and all the scholarships and into the school I want because I was so great at that sport. Like, it consumed my life and it distracted me so much. It's all I thought about. I put it over everything else, and all of a sudden the dust settles and I'm saying, but I have no faith. Where's my walk with Jesus? What happened to my relationship with God? I got so consumed with this thing. Social media. I'm just so consumed with these devices in my life and social media and listen to everything that people tell me that I've just lost this relationship. I'm so distracted. When the dust settles and all that stuff is done, will you still be standing? And the cool thing is, when God says that you may be able to stand, he doesn't use the word fly. He doesn't use the word run or even walk. He's not asking you to be some superhero. All he's asking you to do is stand firm in the faith that he's given you, to trust him. He's basically saying, lean. Just lean on me. You don't have to fly. Just lean. He doesn't want us to be swept away by the lies that we're hearing on social media and the news and from our atheist friends and teachers and professors and scientists that think they know everything and these pseudo-intellectuals that are lying to us over and over, bashing Christianity, bashing our belief in God, thinking we're crazy because we actually believe Jesus really rose from the dead. I've already told you 11 reasons why I believe it. Do you believe it? Would you stand today and say, I believe Jesus Christ really is the Son of God and that he really died and he really rose again and he's alive today and he's coming back for me. And in the end, you stand in that faith. All the dust settles on the battlefield. Will you still say that? Or will you be distracted by the lies around you? Will you give in to what people are saying? Because it's more than just people. You ready for this next phrase? Paul really lets us into what's happening here. He says, against the schemes of the devil. Like, you think people are bad. Like, we're broken, sinful people. We have a capacity for sin to lie to each other and distract each other and pull each other away from Jesus. You think we're bad? Wait till Satan comes along and gets involved in that. And he's saying here that Satan is scheming. Look, all the lies and channels that he has to lie to you through, the way he's attacking you, convincing you to take your eyes off Jesus, he wants to steal the hope right out of your chest. He wants you to stop believing that Jesus is the one true God. He will do anything to hurt your relationship with him. And you know how he does it? By getting you to fall in love with something else. He wants to distract you so you love something else more than you love Jesus. And he's going to come along and dangle those things in front of you. Maybe he already is for some of us. I think the truth is he is for all of us. He's always doing it. And if you were honest and stopped and looked, you could start to identify the things that, man, that's Satan right there scheming on me. He's dangling that in front of me right now. That thing could really take my eyes off of Christ. If you were honest with yourself, you'd start to see those things where he wants you to fall in love with sin or just anything else that's not Jesus so that you'll take your eyes off Christ. He'll distract you with pleasure. He'll try to break your heart because when you have a broken heart, you can't think of anything else a lot of times. He wants to stoke your pride so you just think about yourself. He wants to fuel your selfishness. He wants to pull your heart away from the Lord and knock you off your feet. He wants you to just face plant. What he's looking to do. And he's scheming it. He's thinking it out. He's preparing it. He's making strategies against you. He's not just doing this off the cuff. Like, Satan's had a long time to be like, I saw you when you were born. Like, I've followed your life. I know what's going on with you. I know where you were raised. I've seen it. I've watched. And the whole time I've been here, whispering in your ear, trying to distract you, scheming against you. And he says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood like we try to make it. We think the whole thing is about that. Like, we get so concerned with physical things because it's what we see. It's the closest to us. We can touch it and smell it and see it. But Paul's like, there's something way more powerful at work You live in a physical world, but you're being attacked spiritually. The struggle, the real struggle, is actually spiritual. That's where it's at. The one place you're not looking. And he's like, open your eyes. Like, look there. You're ignoring that spot of your life. But far too often, we want to make it all about what we see and taste and feel. And we forget that the spiritual battle is real. Can you guys show that? I got a video I want you to see real quick. But what's real and what's not real?
I don't know. I was having dinner at a friend's house, director. And he has kids. And there's a 13-year-old, a 15-year-old, a 17-year-old. And they hadn't seen the film The Matrix. And so the director's like, well, why don't you just tell them what it's about? So I'm starting to say, well, there's this guy who's in a kind of virtual world, and he finds out that there's a real world, and he's really questioning what's real and not real, and he really wants to know what's real. And the young girl was like, why? And I was like, what do you mean? She was like, who cares if it's real? And I was like, well, you don't care if it's real. She's like, no. No, it's awesome.
I don't think it's that awesome. It's actually really sad. And the truth is, it's not just one girl. Like, the more I talk to students, the more you just look around you, you see that people are following that trend where we just kind of don't care what's real or not real. We'd rather avoid pain, avoid being uncomfortable, avoid things we don't want, even if we live in a fake world to do it. Some of us hide in social media and make this fake life for ourselves because it makes us feel good. Like, everybody thinks I'm this person. If I post these things and I'm creating this fake identity for myself and it's not real at all, but people think it is. And so for me, it's cool. Like, it's awesome, but it's not real. In so many places in our life, we're exchanging what's fake for what's genuine. And in this case, it is so important that we recognize the reality of where we are, that there is a real war around us raging after you. You're like, I'm already saved. That's awesome that you're saved, but Satan's coming after you even harder because he doesn't want you to follow Jesus. He doesn't want Jesus getting the glory from your life. And he's doing everything he can to make you fall flat on your face because you've said, I follow Jesus. Because you've come to these waters and told your friends, like, I'm brand new. I'm not ashamed of Christ. And so Satan's like, all right, I'm after you now. I will knock you down. That's real. That's happening tonight as you sit here and Satan's trying to distract you from even hearing the verses we're talking about. Some of you are so distracted right now as I look around. And you're missing a really important truth. Something that might change the rest of your life because it's God's word. But even in these moments, Satan's at work trying to distract you. He doesn't want you to hear it. Doesn't want your heart to recognize it and to respond to it. Are you going to let him? Are you going to put on the whole armor? And you say, God, no, take it. All of me, all my heart, all my trust. I'm not holding it back. I'm not being distracted. I'm not looking to the left or right. I'm looking to you, Jesus. The fight is real. Be aware of this battle. He says, as he closes, he says, therefore, he says it again, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And the phrase evil day is often used in the Bible to describe a moment of spiritual attack. It could be any time. Like, it's something that you need to be prepared for, this evil day, this moment where these plans will come together, what Satan has been strategizing against you, and you will face an evil day. You will face an evil moment where you're at a crossroads and you have to make a choice. Will I follow Jesus or will I choose this? And let me tell you, when you've already been so blinded, you've already been following down the wrong path for so long, that moment comes, sometimes it's hard to find your way back. And the only way to do it is by putting on the whole armor. By saying, God, wherever I am right now, wherever I find myself, I'm just like you described. I'm weak. I'm exhausted. I'm broken. And I am lost. And so right now, I'm taking all of it and I'm putting it at your feet. And I'm saying, Jesus, I trust you. The whole armor's going on. You have all my faith and all my life. And this last phrase, and having done all to stand firm. Can you imagine the moment? The moment you will stand before God, every single one of us. And as you're standing before the God of all creation, looking him eye to eye, how will the conversation go? What will happen in that moment? Will you be able to say, having done all and lived this whole life, God, I stood firm. I stand before you, your child, forgiven. My faith and my trust is placed in you, Jesus alone. I've walked a life full of battles. I wasn't perfect. But each time you came and you picked me up and you carried me down the road, each time your strength carried me on and pulled me away from those distractions. And y'all, tonight, you guys bring some distractions to this place. I'm sure of it. If you don't, I'm not sure you're human, right? It's just part of our lives. And I would encourage you tonight, even as you sit here right now, would you just think through in your mind, in your heart? The band's going to come up in a second, and they can go ahead and make their way up. But here's what I want you guys to do. Would you just ask yourself, what things have been distracting me? What are the places that are leading me down the wrong path? And I am not looking to Jesus right now because I have just been led astray. Why don't you close your eyes and bow your heads for just a second? And will you pray that to him just as you sit quietly in your seat? Will you just say, Lord, will you show me those areas? What are the things that are getting in the way of my relationship with you? Where are the gaps in my armor? The places I'm not trusting you with, where Satan's gonna attack. Lord, show me. As we sing this next song, will you just keep praying that and let that roll around in your heart and see what the Lord says to you?